truly is to be here with like-minded Christians, remembering Jesus and His sacrifice, lifting praises to Him. What a wonderful day, any opportunity we have to be here together. Would you please turn with me in your Old Testaments to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, before we begin there, I just have two very brief comments to make before we begin our study together. First, I just want to say thank you so much for the love that you've showed my family this week during Alicia being down with sickness. I can truly say ever since we have moved to Beaumont, Texas, you have been great to us. But just something about this week and seeing how your kind words, your cards, you're taking care of us, I just want to say thank you because we truly feel like a part of your family, and we feel that way, and we thank you for treating us that way. We love you. We thank you so much for what you've done for us this week. Second thing that I'll say before we get into our study of God's Word is this. You might have seen it on the announcements behind me. Maybe you didn't. But we have been working on developing a new website. That website is live now. There's still some things to be done to update it and add more material to it, so please be patient with that. But I just wanted to announce that it is ready to be viewed and to start using for your use and for use of other people around you. It's the same website as it was before, northwestchurchbeaumont.com. I encourage you to check that out. With those things said, let's study the Word of God this morning. Have you ever considered that how dependent you are upon God just might be a result of how humble you are or your lack of humbleness in God? This morning, I want to take a look at two chapters of the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and John chapter 15, and I want to look at two main concepts that I see there in these two chapters. I want to take a look at these two concepts because I believe that there is no possible way that you and I can be the proper humble servants that are totally 100% dependent upon God unless we have these concepts in our lives as Christians. We're going to begin this morning by looking at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39. I'm going to say this. You feel welcome to repeat it with me if you would like. Therefore, know this day, and consider it in your heart, that the Lord Himself is God in heaven above, and on earth beneath there is no other. Of course, this is our theme for the month of February, looking at, with all of my heart, I will be humble. I want to begin this morning by point number one in our outline together, taking a look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, and I want to begin reading verses 1 through 4. 1 through 4. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform, in order that you may live and go and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord has done in the case of Baal-peor. For all the men who followed Baal-peor, the Lord your God has destroyed them from among you. But you, who held fast to the Lord your God, are alive today, every one of you. First, I want to take a look at God's test for Israel. Moses is saying these things to Israel, letting them know that you are going to receive the promised land that's been told to you. But remember some things. Remember some things before you go into that land, some commandments from God. I believe it's a part of what we're talking about all month, that God is trying to instill the concept into His children to be humble. 100% totally dependent upon Him. The first concept I see is really at looking through verses 1 through 3. This concept is that He wants His people to be totally dependent. I wonder, as we consider how humble we are, I wonder how dependent we are upon God. Because, brethren, when we start acting and living in such a way where we don't totally need God, then out the door goes our humbleness before Him. God wanted to make sure to remind His children through the words of Moses, verse 3. He reminds them, "Your eyes have seen what the Lord has done in the case of Baal-peor. For all the men who follow Baal-peor, the Lord your God has destroyed them from among you." He's reminding them, brethren, that they need to be totally dependent upon Him. He's reminding them what happened in the case when we look in our Bibles in Numbers chapter 25, that when the children of God walked away from Him and began to worship other gods, what happened to them? What happened to His children when they didn't need Him anymore, when they could give themselves over to other gods? He destroyed them. In fact, in the reading of Numbers chapter 25, we see that God destroyed 24,000 of them that gave their lives over to other gods. He expects His children to be dependent upon Him and Him alone. Reading verse 4, it says, "But you, who held fast to the Lord your God, are alive today." To me, that is a very real reminder from God, reminding them what He could do, what He did not do to them, but what He could do to them if they walked away from Him. These two concepts are what I see beginning in Deuteronomy. That God expects His children to not be 50% of followers of Him and 50% of self or of the world, but to be 100% totally dependent. And I ask you this morning to ask yourself how humble you are before God. My suspicion is that most of us will say, "Well, we're pretty humble. We're Christians. We're humble before God. We know He's the Creator. We know we're down here." But then I would ask you to ask yourself in your everyday life, how dependent upon God are you? Or how much do you depend upon your own self for things of this life? Furthermore, how much do you fear God? At the beginning of this year, John Tom brought us a lesson from the elders. And he talked a good deal about fear. Brethren, it's my opinion that if more of us feared God more, we would be more humble. We would be better servants of His. But because we don't live in the time that they did in the Old Testament of seeing people get struck down immediately, then we don't feel like we need to serve God with our whole hearts. Because we always have tomorrow, next month, and next year. Brethren, it is so important for our walk with God and our humbleness to make sure that we live and walk before God with fear in our hearts. He reminds them, 24,000 were struck down for worshiping false gods. You don't do the same. May we remember Nadab and Abihu struck down. Uzzah struck down. Sodom and Gomorrah completely destroyed. Noah and the ark. God plaguing the entire earth. See, the problem is that seems like so far in the past. That seems like Old Testament. It doesn't seem like it happens to us. Brethren, we're not being the disciples of Jesus Christ that we need to be if we're not living in such a way as if the day of judgment could come at any time. And I know that we know in our heads that sure, the day of judgment is coming, but do we live like it? Do we live like it? We stand up here and we read from the Scriptures and we know that the day of judgment is coming when we don't know. But sometimes we don't live like it. We live like we can clean up our Christian lives another time. We live like we can put God first another day. We'll come to worship when it's convenient. We'll read our scriptures when we're not so busy. We'll teach our children more about God when there's not as many games, not as many hobbies, not as much school to deal with. Why? Because we're not living with the proper amount of fear in our lives. Brethren, we are never going to be humble servants 100% totally dependent upon our God until we can instill these two concepts into our life. Being totally dependent upon God and fearing our Creator. These are two things that God wanted to remind His people before they go into the promised land. I told you this morning that I want to pick out two pieces of Scripture and two concepts. And from these concepts, I want to share with you what I see as applications. The second point for us this morning is I want to look at God's expectations. I want to read through some of the remainder of Deuteronomy chapter 4 and look at some of the expectations God has from His people of Israel after He has told them that He wants them to be dependent upon Him. He wants them to remember and fear Him. Would you read with me, beginning in verse 10 through 12? Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, "Assemble the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire, to the very heart of the heavens, darkness, cloud, and thick gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you from the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but you saw no form, only a voice." First expectation I see that God has of His children of Israel is to believe in me without seeing my face, without seeing my form. Now, to me, this is a little strange for me to read through this verse and think, well, did they really need to see His face? Did they not see the presence of God on the mountain? Did they not see His glory? Did they not remember that they were not supposed to come close to the mountain? They were supposed to consecrate themselves, not touch the mountain, not let animals come near it, not to be anywhere near it, or if they get struck down? An expectation of God's people was to believe without seeing my face. To me, that very much speaks to us as New Testament Christians. Hebrews 11, verse 1, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." I ask you to keep a marker in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. And whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with the water and with the blood." Verse 13, "These things I have written to you who believe, in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life." Brethren, we've not seen Jesus. Nobody in this room has seen Jesus. We have not seen Him on the cross. We did not see Him when He was resurrected. But we are to believe it anyway. It's an expectation of God, of His people, of Israel, and for us as New Testament Christians. Humble disciples will believe without needing to see. Going back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Would you read with me verse 13 and 14? So he declared to you his covenant which he commanded you to perform, that is, the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might perform them in the land where you are going over to possess it. A second expectation that I see from God is to continue to obey after the blessing. He set this all up at the beginning of Deuteronomy chapter 4, telling them he wants them to remember who they are. Before you go into the promised land, remember who brought you here, brought you out of bondage. Remember who you should fear. And then when you are given the blessing of going into the promised land, still remember who to be humble before. Still remember who delivered you. Still fear me. When I read in this verse, I think there's a very real application for us as New Testament Christians. On the day that you were baptized into Christ, you feared God. You believed in God. You were dependent upon God. That's why you were repenting and being baptized. Fast forward in your life a few years. If you've been a Christian for many years, fast forward 10, 20 years. Are you still as humble before Him? Are you still as dependent? Do you still fear God the same way that you once did, now that you've received your blessing of your sins forgiven through your repentance and baptism? I think many times in our lives, once we receive something, we're not as good at saying thank you for it after the fact. How hard do we work for something when we really want it? How hard do we work for the promotion? How hard do we work for something for our children? But yet what happens after we get it? We stop trying. I think about Noah, and I think about how much when he really wants a toy from me, how hard and how much love he's willing to show me as his father to make sure he gets that toy, gets whatever he wants in life. But you know what usually happens once I give him the toy? He walks away from me and I don't see him for the next part of the day because he has what he wants, right? And so we did the same thing to our parents. I just wonder, is there an application, a parallel there for us as Christians? Because we've now received the blessing of salvation, have we stopped fearing our God? Have we stopped living for Him? Have we stopped being 100% totally dependent upon Him? Romans chapter 6 verses 1 through 7 goes at length for Paul to say to us, shall we continue in sin? Certainly not. It reminds us as New Testament Christians, you are a Christian, live like it. Just because now you've been forgiven isn't the time to stop being dependent upon God. Continue to fear Him, continue to live for Him. I wonder how many of us in the crowd today have lost a little bit of our zeal for God. Lost a little bit of all of our heart for God. Brethren, here's the thing about this whole year of lessons we're going to do. This whole month of being humble. Nobody can make you humble. Nobody can make you zealous for God. I can't do it. Russ can't do it. The person sitting beside you in the pew this morning cannot make you zealous for good works, cannot make you humble, cannot make you dependent upon God. The only person that can do that is you. So, brethren, we have to decide that we are going to walk out of these doors this morning and we're going to be a people totally dependent upon God, totally humble before God, totally fearing and respecting our Creator. Because nobody can do that except for ourselves. So I want to say to you this morning, brethren, light your own fire. Nobody can do it but you. Light your own fire and let the Word of God fan your flame. Nobody can do it for you. You've received the blessing of forgiveness. now will you continue to live for God? There's an expectation of the children of Israel, and I believe that same expectation is for us as well. Going back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, I want to read with you verses 15 through 19. It says, "Watch yourselves carefully, since you did not see any form on the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb from the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make a graven image for yourself in the form of any figure, the likeness of a male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the sky, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water below the earth. And beware, lest you lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them, these which the Lord your God has allotted to all the people under the whole heavens." The third expectation that I see from God is watch yourselves. Beware of yourselves. In other words, be steadfast in me. You might wonder after reading verses 15 through 19, you might say, what's the application for me? I don't think that in today's culture, at least for us, where we live, that it's a big draw for us to want to go out and worship the sky. That we want to go out and worship a graven image. But that's the trick of Satan. The trick of Satan is to form new idols and new gods. Brethren, are we humble enough to beware and watch out for things around us? Or do we think that we have everything taken care of? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." A humble servant of God, completely and totally dependent upon Him, will from time to time look at ourselves and be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves, are we entertaining sin? Are we worshiping things, maybe not in graven image, but are we worshiping things of this earth, our hobbies, our jobs, entertainment? Are we putting anything above our God? The expectation from a humble servant is to watch yourself. I want to go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talks about the day of judgment. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 34, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah." Verse 38, 39, he talks about before the flood. Verse 40, he talks about two men in a field. Verse 41, two women grinding at the mill. Verse 42, he tells us, "Be on the alert. You do not know which day your Lord is coming." Verse 43, talks about the thief in the night. Verse 44, again, Jesus says, "You be ready too. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think He will." Brethren, the command and the expectation for God's people then was watch yourselves. Don't give yourselves over to idols. Don't put anything above me. And the same still stands for us today as New Testament Christians. I want to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4 once more. And I want to read together verse 20. "But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace from Egypt to be a people for His own possession as today." When I read this, to me, I hear that the expectation from God to the children of Israel is to remember your father. Remember who brought you out of Egypt. Remember who's going to deliver you into this promised land. and live for me. Be humble before me. Don't think too much of yourself just because you're going to receive the reward. Think about this as a New Testament Christian. And I think about the way you and I should live every day. The way that you and I should live is in such a way that we should always act in a way that is respectful to our God, shows glory to God. You know, when I was a young kid, my parents used to say this to me all the time. I'm sure you've heard it too. My parents would tell me before I'd leave the house, remember who your parents are. Remember your name. Okay? What's that mean? My parents would explain to me in depth often that when I walk out of the house, that if I choose to be sinful, that it's not just on me, that it reflects poorly upon my parents and their name, and a disgrace to them and their name, and a disgrace to all the Christians that know about what I've done. Have your parents ever said that to you growing up? Remember who you are. Remember your name. May we remember our name as Christians. And remember that when we walk out into the world and we choose to be unhumble, we choose to be selfish, we choose to live for ourselves, we are disgracing our Father, disgracing our Lord who was hung on a tree. Let's remember our Father in the way that we live. I see these two concepts for Israel. Be totally dependent upon me. Fear me. And here's my expectations for you. May we move into point number two and see if anything has changed since the New Testament times. Has anything changed in the expectations, in the concepts for us as New Testament Christians? Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Would you read with me verses 1 through 5? Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, brethren, nothing has changed since New Testament times. When I read through John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, here's what I see in verses 4 and 5. Be totally dependent upon Christ. Verse 4. Unless you abide in me. Verse 5. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. I appreciate the comments that were made at the table this morning. I appreciate that we were told to remember our past lives and remember that without Christ, our sins would still be with us. Without Christ, we would have no hope of heaven. Without Christ, we would be sent to the place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. Without Christ. Brethren, how humble are you living? You might say, I feel like I'm very humble before God. But then I'd ask you to ask yourself, then are you living like a humble, completely dependent upon God's servant? Would you read verse 6 with me? If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. They gather them, they cast them into the fire, and they are burned. This is a very real reminder to us as New Testament Christians that if we do not abide in Jesus Christ, we will wither, we will dry up, and we will be thrown into the fire. eternal hell, away from the glory of God. Brethren, I ask you this morning to be more dependent upon God. I ask you, as I ask myself, how much do you fear God? And do you live like you fear God? Because it's the concept that brings forth a humble heart. May I close this morning with a second point underneath Jesus' test for us by looking again at applications as we did of God's expectations for Israel. May we look at some expectations that Jesus has and the results if we will abide in Christ. Would you read with me in John chapter 15, verses 7 through 11? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. First, brethren, I see in John chapter 15, if we abide in Christ, the way that a humble, dependent servant should, then we will be like the vine. If you're like me, when you read through Scripture, you do a lot of underlining, circling, marking to help you understand. And if you did that, perhaps you might have seen this phrase, in me. I underlined every time I saw in me. Do you know how many times in 11 verses Jesus says, in me? Six. Six times Jesus says over and over again, be in me, abide in me, remain in me, don't go away from me. It reminds me of James chapter 3, 11 and 12. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives? Or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. If we are truly abiding in Jesus Christ as He's asked us to, we will look like Him in everything that we do. Are you abiding in Christ? Of course, I think you would say yes, but then I would ask you to ask yourself, then are you producing fruit that looks like Christ? Are the things that you're doing in your daily life, would Jesus Christ do those things that you're doing? Because remember, if we are abiding in Christ the way He's asked us to, we won't be producing salt water when He is fresh. We won't be producing figs when He is the vine. See, that's how we know if we're truly abiding, if we're truly being humble, if we're truly being dependent upon God. We will be producing the same exact fruit that Jesus would if He was here today walking and living beside us. A humble servant, brethren, a humble, dependent servant upon God will be producing the same things as the vine, not something different. The second thing that I see, if we abide in Christ, we will bear much fruit. In verse 8, I just want to underline there that it says much fruit. Jesus doesn't say, abide in me and have some fruit, bear whatever fruit. Bear a little fruit. In verse 8, He says, much fruit. In verse 5, much fruit. Again, if you underline in your Bible, count things the way I do. How many times is the words bears fruit said by Jesus in 11 verses? Six. That tells me it's pretty important. That tells me that Jesus is trying to make a point with repetition. To tell you, to tell me, to bear much fruit. So what that tells me, and I hope it'll tell you this morning, is that we better not as Christians be resting on our past accomplishments. We better not be sitting here this morning glorying in ourselves because we've been baptized. Glorying in ourselves because of the one good deed we did a year ago. That one person we helped to hear the gospel 20 years ago. Jesus says, if you are humble and abiding in me, you will bear much fruit every day. Let's not be Christians that rest on things we've done for Christ some other time and act like we've earned heaven. Let's continue to wake up every day, wake up and abide in the vine, be like the vine, and look around us and see, what can we do? What can we do for our brethren? What can we do for the loss that we see every day? What can we do to bear much fruit, to show works before the Lord? Third thing that I see from these verses is that a humble servant, totally dependent upon Christ, will allow pruning. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Rather than an untrimmed vine develops these long green shoots, right? Why do they need to be cut off? Because the nutrients need to go towards making the fruit, not just growing all of these short vines that are shooting off. In our lives as Christians, we need to be able to look in the mirror of the Word of God, and ask ourselves, are we allowing God's Word, are we allowing Jesus to prune our lives? Are we allowing the Word of God to cut out sin, cut out selfishness? Because if we're not, then we're moving further and further away from Christ. But if we will allow, if we'll be completely dependent upon Christ and be humble servants and allow the Word to prune us, then we will be going out and bearing much fruit, doing the works that look like Christ. A fourth thing that I see a humble servant totally dependent upon Christ will be, he will be someone that glorifies God. Verse 8, notice this. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. By this, what is the this that glorifies God? The this, brethren, is when we go out every day and talk like Christ, act like Christ, bear much fruit like the vine. But you know what? We're not going to do any of those things if we're not humble servants. It takes a humble person, completely dependent upon their God, to wake up and remove self from the equation and live like Christ wants. Do as Christ wants. All of these things said, brethren, I want to end by saying that we do not become totally dependent, humble servants by just wanting to be that way. We don't become better, humble servants by just wishing that we were that way. And brethren, we don't even become better, humble servants by just failing to do evil. It takes much more than that. It takes our desire to walk out of here this morning and say, I want to be a better, humble servant of God. Are you ready for that, brethren? I think that you are. I know that you are ready for that. So I'd ask you to just consider these things from these two chapters this morning. And I would ask you just consider your life and consider where we can all improve. This has certainly helped me to know where I can improve and be more dependent upon my God. But again, it takes our hard work and our effort. It's not just going to happen. You might be sitting here this morning thinking, I want to be more dependent upon God. I want to be a child of God. Well, then I'd just like to read one final verse for you this morning. and is found back in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and it ties in with our theme of the year. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you search for Him with all your heart and all your soul." If you're seeking God this morning, you'll find Him if you'll just do what He's asked. This morning, can we help you in any way spiritually? Can we pray with you? If you're not a child of God and you're seeking Him, then know that you need to take it to the next step of obedience, and that is repenting away from your sins and being baptized into Christ. Can we help you with that this morning? If we can, will you let it be known now as we stand and sing?